Good morning. It is a smaller crowd than usual, but I guess with the nice weather and a long weekend, that is going to happen. It's great to be back here with you worshiping at Rockway. After missing a couple Sundays in a row there, it's nice to be here again, and it feels almost like coming home to a home congregation again, and that has been nice. I'm looking forward to the rest of the summer being with you, and I'm told it will also be a smaller group, and that is nice too. As was mentioned in the bulletin last week, I've been away in the Dominican Republic helping lead a group who is down there to learn about international development and then also to assist in building safe and dry houses for families who needed it. It was a great experience, one that I do more often, and I've talked to a few of you about that, but would love to have more conversations surrounding what goes on there and my involvement in it. And I also know next week Betsy Wall is coming to speak about international development in the first hour and then on into the service as well. And I look forward to hearing what she has to say after many years of experience in that. But we have not come here to hear about my trip to the Dominican today. And although that's a great thing to share with community, we're here primarily as a community to worship God and also to hear from Him. And as we read about in our scripture reading in Acts today, the community of the church comes from and is made up of very different people. Sometimes this can be wonderful, and sometimes it can be very difficult. And today we are looking at a passage that ultimately shows both sides of that, some difficulties and what can happen when there are those differences. Our scripture comes from Acts 11, and thank you, Amanda, for reading that for us. Whenever I pick a specific passage in the Bible, I always think it's important to talk a little bit about what's happening around that passage. Otherwise, you get kind of into this idea of this is the only thing that's happening, and we go from little silos of passages to other ones. So to do that, let's look back a little and see what's setting the stage. Acts itself is a story of the early church struggling and starting to grow, and the world around the church struggling to figure out how to make sense of that church and what to do with it. Acts starts with Jesus going to heaven and sending the Holy Spirit, as promised, to a number of believers who are all gathered in the same place. And it's important in light of today's passage to note that those believers were the apostles and other Jewish believers and followers of Jesus. It was this group who received the Holy Spirit. Acts then goes on to talk about stories of healing, stories of community, and stories of persecution. The gospel was spreading quickly in Jerusalem, but then also outside of Jerusalem. After one particularly heavy bout of persecution in Jerusalem, the apostles scattered, and chapter 8 says those who had been scattered preached the word wherever they went. However, up until this point, the people who had received the gospel and the Spirit were mostly Jews and those from the Jewish faith. And then we get to today's passage. With the growth of the church in Acts, things were changing, and this was difficult for a lot of people. And that was understandable. In what we read in Acts 11, we see a number of problems going on. The first problem we see is that Peter is asked by God to eat food that has been forbidden for hundreds of years to the Jews. Peter's honest and appropriate response to being told to eat such food is an indication of the rules he knows he has to follow and the rules he has been taught on how to be devoted to God. When told to eat, Peter says, "Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth." Peter knew what was right and wrong. Peter knew what he had been taught and what had been taught to his people for centuries. Peter knew the standard responses and answers, and Peter knew what belonged in his mouth. Or so he thought. The problem now was that he was being asked to do something totally different, something that went against everything that he and his people had held with such importance for so many years. And the bigger problem in all of this is that it was God who was asking him to break those rules. However, eating forbidden foods wasn't the only problem. The vision was only a representation of the actual problem that was about to encounter. After the vision ended, Gentiles came to Peter's house and asked him to go with them. Peter was being forced to break a few more rules here. Jews were not supposed to provide lodging for Gentiles. Jews weren't supposed to gather for meals with Gentiles. But Peter had seen the vision, he had heard a voice, he knew it was the Lord's, and now he was faced with this problem. Gentiles, the unclean, as the passage alludes to, were wanting to hear the gospel as well. But that, like the vision, went against everything that Peter had ever been taught. And on top of all of this, other Jewish believers were aware of the choices Peter made. They saw him go with the unclean people. They knew he had hosted them. They knew he had eaten with them. Peter, their leader, a devout Jew, was making some decisions that were not really resonating with them. And what complicated things was the fact that they didn't see the vision that Peter had. They had not heard the Lord's voice in all of this. They hadn't felt the Spirit's clear direction on this matter. And so these people, being devout followers of Jesus, rightfully had some questions for Peter. When in verse 2 we read that they criticized him, they weren't at all in the wrong for doing so. They were following what they had been taught all along. They were responding to what seemed to go against what God had commanded. They had very good reason to challenge Peter in this matter. And I actually have a lot of respect for them for bringing it up with him. And so we see several problems here. God telling Peter to do something Peter thought was wrong, Peter actually doing it, and then other people thinking Peter was wrong for doing that. But despite the problems we see in the text, we see something else. We see grace present in this situation, especially in the working of the Holy Spirit. This Holy Spirit is incredibly active throughout the whole book of Acts, and is certainly no different in today's passage. And we need to remember that the working of the Spirit is the working of God and the working of Jesus Christ, the Trinity as we know it. We first see the Spirit at work in this passage in the vision Peter receives. As mentioned before, it's made clear to Peter that it is actually God speaking to him. And Peter acknowledges this in his response. And still, though he knows it is the Lord speaking to him, Peter initially is not willing to change what has been the norm for so long. And here again, the Spirit is at work. The passage indicates that 3 times Peter was told to kill and eat, 3 times Peter said, "Surely I won't do this," and 3 times God says, "Don't call anything impure that I have made clean." And after the 3rd time, the food was gone, the vision was ended, and then came that knock at the door. For those of us familiar with the gospel accounts of Peter and Jesus, we know that there's no small significance with this happening 3 times in a row. Peter had denied Jesus 3 times, and then when Jesus instated Peter, it was 3 times again that he asked Peter, "Do you love me? And if you do, go feed my sheep." Peter no doubt would have noticed the significance immediately. Part of me finds it humorous that this pattern keeps repeating for Peter, or even that it needs to keep repeating for Peter. You think after the 1st time, he would start being like, "Okay, I get it. This is how things go." But it's also refreshing that the Spirit works in ways that were familiar and recognizable. Peter recognized this pattern. He had to listen. He had no choice. Even if after the 2nd time in this vision in which he was sleeping, he was a little sluggish, I'm sure after the 3rd time, he sat right up in his bed and said, I get it. I see what's going on." And then came that knock at the door, a number of Gentiles wanting to come in. And it was late in the day, and he would have to host them. And then they wanted him to come back to the house of another Gentile. And Peter explains that again the Spirit told him to have no hesitation to go with them. And this time he only needed that once. And he went with them. But even all of these indications of the Spirit at work, what's incredible in today's text is that God, through the Holy Spirit, had much bigger plans than simply making sure Peter understood and followed a vision. God, through Jesus and the working of the Holy Spirit, had been setting the stage for something bigger to happen. And we start to see that in the voice from the vision, which said to Peter, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." These words sound familiar to many of the ones that Jesus had also spoken when he forgave people, when he healed people, when he invited people into his kingdom. The voice in the vision didn't say that these animals and this food had actually been clean all along and the Jews just got it wrong for years. Rather, it used a verb, an action word, of making things clean. Something was happening here. Peter says that while he was still preaching, the Spirit came upon the Gentiles, and not just in a quiet, subtle way. But he says it came on the Gentiles in the same way it had come upon them in the beginning. He said that God had given the Gentiles the same gift as he had given them. And then he simply says that if that's what's happening, how can he oppose it? And that was incredible news. It's an incredible shift. That was the Spirit at work all along. And it was God's grace at work in this situation. All those who had rightfully challenged Peter in the first place had no further objections and praised God for this fact. And I see the Spirit at work in that as well. Peter didn't need to argue theology with them. He didn't dissect every verse and law in the scriptures regarding how Jews were to act with the Gentiles. He simply followed the direction he knew the Spirit was leading him. And then he recounted what happened, explained the Holy Spirit's work to those who questioned him, and that was enough to convince himself and his challengers that God was doing something new. The text is exciting to read and it's frightening to read. Those were some big changes taking place for Peter and the other apostles. And I don't think this text and its problems and its grace is just limited to this event thousands of years ago. I think we can still hear something in it now. We're faced with a lot of similar problems to what Peter was dealing with. We hear all kinds of arguments about what and who is considered Christian or not. Who is impure or who is clean? Who is worthy or who is unworthy? At times we may find ourselves among those we consider to be the clean, the true followers of Jesus, and we may be quick to want to determine who or what may be considered unclean. At times we may think of ourselves as the unclean and the people who are not worthy of the plans of God. Sometimes we may feel like Peter and may think that we have so many ideas and hear and see visions from God, but we're not able to understand those visions when they don't fit with what we've always listened to. And at other times, we can be eager to follow where we know God is leading, but those around us aren't as quick to support us and may even challenge or criticize us for what we're doing. And the problem with all of this is that it makes sense that it doesn't always make sense. New things are happening. Sometimes what we feel to be God's leading goes against what we have thought or learned to be true, much like it did for Peter. At other times, we want to be great members of a community, and when we see other people doing things that don't fit with our understanding of what God wants, we try to point them in the right direction, and that can be hard on either side. It's frustrating and difficult and confusing when all of us who are followers of God don't always agree on what that means. And this has been going on since that happened with Peter. This has been going on since God has connected with humans. Our interpretations and understandings of God's law and God's leading are different. What do we do in light of God's teaching when it comes to involvement in wars? What do we do about involvement in politics? Who can come to communion? Who should be baptized? Are there specific gender roles when it comes to preaching and teaching in the church? What about the inclusion of a wide variety of individuals who may be different from myself, whatever that may mean? And those answers have not and are not always clear to us, much like with Peter and the other apostles. And like Peter, we want to say, surely not, we would never do anything impure or unclean. And that may feel like an appropriate response in many situations. But in other situations, we may need to listen and be open to more prodding from the Holy Spirit. We may be called into some places we would never have thought God would send us. And we may be called to talk to and be with people that we would never have thought God was wanting us to talk to. But thanks to God, what we read and hear in this passage, the Spirit is at work and the Spirit leads us to these places. It may be different than what we have thought to be true, or may have be different than we thought to be God's leading. But what is true about the Spirit working in Peter and in the early church can be true for us as well. The first truth is that the Spirit is still active in leading us and showing us what to do. Sometimes it may be hard to understand or discern, but like with Peter, God knows us, and the Spirit is able to speak to us in familiar and recognizable ways. And as with Peter, the Spirit will continue to push us 2, 3, or maybe a lot more times until we can start to recognize the voice of God. We can also be sure that the Spirit is working in those around us who are also following God. We may not always receive the same visions or hear exactly the same things, but we need to know that those who are in tune with God, the Spirit is alive and active, and we can and should be willing to follow their lead as well. And along with that, we should also be willing to challenge them. I find it to be a beautiful picture of the church and of community that Peter's brothers and sisters in the faith were willing to challenge him when he was going against what they thought to be God's leading. That is what we are called to do as a family of Christ. And at the same time, though, there was not a big argument. There were not huge fights and debates. Peter simply explained what he had heard, why he had followed it, and then also showed the fruit that it had borne. When we see the Spirit at work, even in places where it's not expected, we also need to be willing to say, along with Peter and the other apostles, who are we to oppose God's leading? This passage opens up some pretty exciting things. Like the children's story earlier, it uses some different colors than we thought were normal for those spaces. It doesn't stay in the lines that we thought were drawn so clearly. It's a vision of a kingdom that may look different than we have thought it to be. And it's amazing that with all our differences, we are called to be part of this plan. The passage doesn't say that everything is now permissible and anything goes. It is still very clear that the Gentiles followed the prompting of the Spirit and believed what Peter was preaching. However, in the end, it wasn't Peter's sermon. It wasn't the rules and immediately conforming to them that saved the Gentiles. They didn't have to be circumcised or even baptized to be able to receive the Spirit. But in the midst of Peter's preaching, God knew something that everyone around didn't. And he sent his Spirit on those who were thought to be unclean. And God still does that today. God sees a bigger picture. God sees our hearts. We, like the apostles, are simply called to preach wherever we may be scattered. We are called to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and to encourage those who are doing the same. And through the amazing grace of God, the Spirit is doing the rest of the work. And where the Spirit is at work, who are we to get in the way? And so in all of this, like the title of today's sermon, I see a beautiful invitation, an invitation to a lot of different groups. There's an invitation for the Spirit to continue to do its work. There's an invitation for us as followers of Jesus to follow the leading of the Spirit into places that may be uncomfortable at first. And there is also a clear invitation to the unclean, of which I am also a part, to be part of what God and the Spirit is doing. Clearly, the Spirit and the kingdom is bigger than what Peter and the apostles thought it was at first. Are we also open to the fact that the kingdom may be bigger than we have ever imagined as well? Are we ready to both spread and receive God's invitation and trust that God knows what he is doing and that the Spirit who has started a good work will carry it out to completion? In this passage, I know no matter where I am, clean or unclean, God still invites me to be part of his work. And it's up to me with the help of the Spirit to respond to that. I, along with everyone else, still need to discern what God is leading me to do. The impure, both inside and outside of me, still needs to be made clean as God invites me into his kingdom. But I know with the help of the Spirit, that continues to happen. It's an amazing thing that God is making all things new and that he has invited all of us to be part of that. And the question is, how will we respond to that invitation?